Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is Dale Jackson welcoming you to the Lamp and Light broadcast, coming to you from the studios of Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry. It takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is to men as they are, without compromise or apology. Speaking the truth in love is our purpose, and to give the lamp and light to all. Now, here is our teacher and pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
Yesterday in our study of Nahum chapter 1, we were talking about some differences between winners and losers. Listen closely as we continue with that thought today.
My feet on his firm foundation for the Bible stands.
Now, Jesus rose from the dead by his own power through his own deity. His humanity was raised by his deity. He wants to know the power of his resurrection in his own life. That is, in Paul wants it in his life, and we as Christians want that. And the fellowship of his sufferings. You know what the word fellowship actually means? It means partnership. Being in partnership with Christ in his sufferings for the cause of souls, for the cause of righteousness and holiness. Being made conformable unto his death. That is, Jesus was a holy and righteous sacrifice at his death with no sin. And the Lord is working to make us as his bride without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. And he does it by the washing of the water of the word. We must be in the word. And I could only say, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Now, if you stick to the paths of righteousness for his name's sake, again, you will always be opposed. Always. Never expect to do the Lord's work, doing his will, his way, walking in the paths of righteousness and true holiness, as Ephesians 4:22 through 24 tells us. Don't do that and expect to be unopposed. Most often, you will not only be opposed, it will be people who are in your church, maybe even in the so-called same circles, the so-called same faith. And you're opposed. And my friend, one thing you got to remember is this. In Christ Jesus, a winner always has a program. That is the program of God that he's given. For we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So we seek to know God. We seek to know his will and do it exactly the way he wants it done, losing our will to his will. Because his will is so much better. And so a winner has that program. A loser, he always has an excuse. A winner says, let me do it. Here, my Lord, send me. A loser says, that's not my job. A winner sees an answer for every problem. A loser sees a problem in every answer of the Word of God. A winner says, it may be difficult, but it's possible, for I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. A loser says, it may be possible, but it's just simply too difficult to do, so I don't even want to try. And he loses his reward. A winner listens to the Lord. A loser just waits until the preaching, the reading of the word is over so he can add his two cents in that wants to disagree with the truth that's just been proclaimed. A winner makes a mistake and says, I was wrong. It's not right. It wasn't according to the Word of God. I was wrong. A loser makes a mistake and says, well, it wasn't my fault. The winner says, I'm good, but not as good as I could be. A loser says, I'm not as bad as a lot of other people. It seems like the loser has a problem of confessing his sins. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to forgive us of all unrighteousness, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You see, Jesus is our high priest. We do go to a priest. His name is Jesus Christ, and he's made us priests as well. If you're going to be a winner, you'll feel more responsible for more than just your job. But a loser will say, well, I only work here. I'm just a member of the church. Hey, let me, just by saying those things, ask you a question. Are you a winner or are you a loser? You're going to be one of the two. Now, if you go the way of being holy, acceptable unto God, conform not to this world, loving not the world, nor its things, walking in separation unto God, having coming out from among them, you witness, as you go on that way, then you will hear, well done, good and faithful servant. That is, you're a winner. You're not only on the winning side, but you win the trophies as well. The text said, for the wicked shall no more pass through thee. He is utterly cut off. And although we live in a day when the wicked are in the majority, it will be at the day of the judgment seat of Christ. You'll be glad that you did not compromise, keep quiet, and not stand, but rather, you having done all to stand, withstood the onslaught. This reminds me of the story of the man in hell in Luke chapter 16, verses 22 through 24. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Now, with all the opposition you get from the unsaved and the wicked, just remember this. In hell, they won't want anyone to have to come and suffer what they're suffering. This is why you keep the solemn feast and vows. Three times in a year, they were to come to a feast. It was required of every Jew. Of every Israelite. In church, you have what we call an altar. I'd prefer to call it a mourner's bench, but since that, everybody knows it as the altar. It's not really an altar like in the Bible, but it's a place where you do come at the end of a church service and they give an invitation. Come to the altar. You may come there to pray for lost souls, loved ones who are away from the Lord. Maybe for you're seeking the call of God on your life. There's so many things as well as confessing failure, sin. Maybe you're just seeking God's power. But when's the last time you've been to an altar? Is there a pride? I don't need to go down there. Is there a self-righteousness? You don't go to that altar. You don't go there at invitation time to rarely go, if ever, let alone three times in a year, as they went to an altar. They had to travel wherever they were in Israel. They might have to travel over 100 miles to get there. three times in a year. And you haven't been to the altar in quite a long time to pray, to even ask God for a lost soul. You may have someone in your family or someone you work with that's unsaved, and you haven't even gone there to pray for them, let alone witness to them. Oh, my friend, don't be ashamed at his appearing, because I would not want any of our listeners to be there. And if you're not saved, oh, I'd want you to come to know Christ as Savior. But let's move on. In chapter 2, verse 1, as we continue in the study, it says, "He that dasheth in pieces is come up before thy face. Keep the munition. Watch the way. Make thy loins strong. Fortify thy power mightily." Well, after the prophesied victory of verses 14 and 15 here in chapter 1, then we, and that's for Judah, especially at a time when things look so bad, now we begin to see victory itself. This should be as much a prophecy for Nineveh as it is for Judah. I mean, 150 years earlier, their forefathers had the wisdom to repent at the preaching of Jonah. If you truly believe that he is the Almighty, the Creator, the Omnipotent, the Omniscient God, then you will heed his warnings, whether as a Christian of the saved so as by fire and his chastening, or of the unsaved going to that eternal lake of fire. His judgments are sure, my friend, and judgment begins at the house of God, by the way. You see, it's not a question of, is God going to judge? The question is, when? When is the judgment seat of Christ? When is it going to happen? How soon? Whereas we've looked at jumping the years to the tribulation in Nahum, I want us to kind of park here for just a moment as we start the second chapter and see that the Christian, it is the Christian that should sound the battle cry. "For he that dasheth in pieces is come up before thy face." We're now looking at Sennacherib, a type of the Antichrist in this passage. Sennacherib is a Satan-empowered man.
This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, "May the word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today."
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD copy of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name and mailing address, and include the radio station by which you are listening and the date of the broadcast. We would appreciate a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us by our website and freely download the sermons by clicking on the sermon library. That site is www.centralbaptistocala.org. Again, the address of Lamp and Light Broadcast is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, OCALA, Florida, 34471. And our website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. This is your announcer, Dale Jackson, saying, "May God's peace be with all who are in Christ Jesus."
My feet on His firm foundation, for the Bible says, "I will plant my feet on His firm foundation, for the Bible."